Would you turn to Luke 4? Glory. Oh, it's a good night to get your eyes off yourself. Get rid of that woe is me spirit. So you've been offended. Die. Yeah, bud. And we ain't no bud ministry now. Glory to God. Have you enjoyed the teaching on anointing? The Christ, the first coming of the Lord? Well, we're going to continue. Everybody say from fullness to power. Oh, glory. Something's going to happen. Yes. Oh, hallelujah. Would you start in verse, read with me verses 1 and 2. Is everybody there? Luke 4. Say from fullness to power. That's where I'm going. Well, then you'd better die. Oh, hallelujah. In verses 1, would you read it with me? 1 and 2. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Remember, you're either going in the wilderness, you're in the wilderness, or you're coming out. There is no in between. You're either one of those three stages. In, coming out, or going back in. Amen? You're going in, you're in, or you're coming out. One or the other. That's how it is. Too bad. Die. Right? That's why God puts you in the wilderness. Did you ever notice that when you get attacked and all kinds of stuff, you feel like you're alone? But you're not led by your feelings, right? Praise God. It's called wilderness. Nobody understands. I'm the only one. Hallelujah. Okay, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted. So the Holy Spirit leads you into temptation. Hello? Hello? He led Jesus to go get what? Tempted. Now, the Holy Spirit and God don't tempt you, does he? That's why in that prayer we say, oh Lord, please don't lead me into what? Temptation. Hello. Now, we know that temptation also comes by people's affections and things that they do. Amen. But there's a time when God leads you into a place. We call it temptation, but God calls it testing. You are tested in the wilderness. You are tested in the lowest parts. When things seem to be worse is when you're tested. You're not tested on the mountaintop. You're rested on the mountaintop. You are tested in the valley of death. That's why it's called death. Hello? See, when people come to the discipleship route, we say, welcome to the house of death. Well, welcome to the valley of death. Didn't they have a movie called Death Valley? Yeah, see? Praise God. Confirmation. It was biblical. They didn't even know it. People keep stealing stuff from my daddy's word. And being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. Now you got to understand, he was tempted 40 days. He didn't just get tempted three times. The scriptures express three specific times. But he was tempted 40 days. But the only way the devil tempted him was in three categories, wasn't it? Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. But he was tempted 40 days, not just three times. I mean, he didn't just hang out there, twiddle his thumbs, and fast and pray. Oh, I'm waiting on you, devil. No, the devil tempted him 40 days, 24 hours a day. He was tempted. Hello? Does everybody understand that? Okay. And it, does everybody understand that? He was tempted how many days? 40, not just three times. Hello? Praise God. Now, we know that he was filled with the Holy Spirit, right? And God sent him into the wilderness to be tempted for 40 days. Then the Bible says, in verse 13, come on, read it with me. Now, when the devil had ended every temptation, man, he tried everything made known to man. He what? Departed from him until when? Another opportunity. Oh, hallelujah. Has he had an opportunity today? And if you haven't said yes, you can repent for lying. Sure, he's got an opportunity every day. Now, in verse 14, then it says what? Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region. Now, here's something powerful. He went in the wilderness to be tempted 40 days, filled with the Spirit. He came out of the wilderness with power. Hello. So why does God allow you to be tempted? To expose his power. Come on. Does everybody get it? Look, come on, he went in filled with the Holy Spirit. And he came out with the power. Oh, glory. He returned in the power of the Spirit. He went in with filled with the Spirit, and he returned in the power of the Spirit. Does everybody understand that? So why does God allow you to be tempted or tested? That's why the Bible says count it all joy, doesn't it? Why? Because as you endure it, what's it doing? It's building strength in you. It's killing you. So what? The power and the glory of God can flow through. But you must first be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can't be half filled, quarter filled, eighth filled, 16th filled. You got to be filled with the Spirit of God to come out of the wilderness with the power of God. Because if you come out of the wilderness, you don't go in the wilderness filled. You will come out beaten, woe is me, carnal-minded. Hello. You'll be looking for the world to give you comfort because you ain't been filled. Is everybody with me? Hallelujah. Luke 5. Glory. Glory. Luke 5, verse 17. Oh, hallelujah. We're going to get something tonight. You're going to want to die tonight. You're going to look forward to death. Kill me. He says, okay. Come hither. I got a temptation for you. What are you going to do with it? So you're either going to run out of the... People come running out of the wilderness. Wah! All carnal bucked out, you know? Dragging their shield of faith, their helmets, they're kicking out. The sword they left in the wilderness... Half butt naked. Flesh is all over the place. With butt ministry. Amen? Because if you ain't filled, you're coming out of the, going in the wilderness, you're coming out with no power. You're only coming out with butt ministry. See, people try to fool with the devil and fight the devil half-filled. You'll lose. You'll lose. Just like the priests. Remember the dudes in the book of Acts? And they tried to cast out the sons of Scivia. They tried to cast out the devil. And he says, in the name of Paul's God, Jesus, we cast you out. That dude had no clothes left. They jumped him and ripped him up and kicked him out of his own temple. Hello? Why? Because he had no power, no anointing, wasn't filled, didn't know nothing. Tried to use somebody else's name. And that's what people who are not filled with the Spirit of God, they try to use the name of God, but it has no effect. Because the name of Jesus is anointed. And without the anointing, nothing associated with it is effective. Hello? Then people just go around plant seeds because that's all they can do. They can only plant a seed. Well, let me tell you something. We're not just seed planters in this house. If you want to be a seed planter, go somewhere else. Praise God. You come here to die so that the power and the anointing of God Almighty can flow through you. So you can be a witness and a sign and wonder. If that's not what you want, then you need to go somewhere else. It's real simple. Go to a foo-foo church. You know, where you can have your social meetings every week. Everybody gets together for a Bible study and they eat cookies and they have coffee and talk, woe is me, because they ain't got nothing spiritual to talk about. Ain't nothing happened in their life. And the demons just shake hands with one another. Yeah, man, we got them. Yeah. It's nothing but a demon meeting. That's all it is. They just don't know it. It's a religious ritual. Hello? Okay. Verse 17. Luke 5. The only agenda is who's bringing the cookies the next meeting, right? Hallelujah. Would you read it with me now? Now it happened on a certain day, as he, Jesus, was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Wow. The power of the Lord was present. Now, wait a minute. What do you mean? Let me share something with you. There's certain levels of God's presence, first of all. And it says that the power of the Lord was present. So not only was the Lord present, His presence, but His power was present. Amen? That's His anointing, isn't it? So it wasn't just about Him being present. It was about His power was present. In other words, the power is the manifested presence of God. Everybody got it? The power is the manifested presence. Because, see, let me explain this to you. You can have a gun on you, it can be present with you, can it? Amen? But until it's activated, it ain't got no power, does it? You can be carrying that baby around with you all day long. It's the same thing with God's presence being with you, because He says, I'll never forsake you nor leave you. But then there's something when His manifested presence is activated and it becomes power. Is everybody with me? Okay. Now, let's keep going. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop, let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to him, man, your sins are forgiven. See, you thought I talked funny like that, saying, hey, oh, man. Daddy said it too. He said, man. He said, man, your sins are forgiven. Praise God. Yo, dude, your sins are forgiven. Why? Because he saw their faith. The activated faith was they believed in him. Does everybody understand that? These guys were up on a rooftop trying to cut their way in. You know? They were doing everything they could to get in, man. Listen, we have a friend we're carrying in there. He's paralyzed. He needs healing. And we know this person, whom they call Jesus, will heal him. We know it. What were they doing? They were activating their faith. The Bible says everybody's born with a measure of faith. So they are actually activating their faith, weren't they? Amen? And by activating their faith, Jesus saw their faith. Let me tell you something. And then Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. And they thought, wow, because we believe you, our sins are forgiven? Yes! That began the process of healing. Because forgiveness is always the beginning process of healing. So Jesus forgave the men, didn't he? Then he healed the paralyzed one. Does everybody get it? Why? Because his manifested presence was there, which was his power. Is everybody all right? Oh, to God be the glory. So, forgiveness is the start of healing. Manifested presence of the Lord is his power, right? Like I said, a person can have a gun or whatever, but you know, we talk about walking with Jesus. There's a place where Jesus, look at, the disciples walked with Jesus, didn't they? That was his presence. But then there was times when he manifested his presence. With what? Power. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. But first you have to be what? Filled with the Spirit of the living God. Cool. Go to Exodus 9. Oh, hallelujah. Fullness to power, man. Exodus chapter 9. That's why we praise and worship first, isn't it? What are we doing? We're gathering together to get filled. Why? Well, if God wants to manifest his presence through you, you better be filled. Because you're going to go through trials and tribulations. You will go be tempted. Because that temptation is to be tested. Why? So God can glorify himself. He wants to manifest his power through you. And it is only to, listen, the more times you experience things and you have the power to overcome them, the more faith you have. Hello? The more trust you have, the less fear you have. And you know that he's going to make a way, no matter what. But unless you've experienced these things, you won't believe. You know, people go around and talk about God. They're talking about everybody else's experiences but their own because they haven't had any. No power can come from that person. God cannot manifest his presence through that person with somebody else's testimony. That testimony is increase your faith so that you have a testimony. Why? God wants to manifest his presence through you. You know, the first time you cast out a devil, you're going to go, man, glory. Especially the first one you get out of yourself. Hallelujah. You'll notice a freedom. Man, that really works. It's a miracle. Hallelujah. In Exodus chapter 9, in verse 13. Then the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, thus is the Lord God of the Hebrews. Let my people go that they may serve me. For at this time I will send all of my plagues to your very heart and on your servants and on your people that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. Verse 15. Now if I had stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, then you would have been cut off from the earth. But indeed, for this purpose, I have raised you up, that I may show my what? Power in you. And that my name may be declared in all the earth. So he's telling Moses this, isn't he? As yet you exalt yourself against my people in that you will not let them go. Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause very heavy hail to rain down, such as not been in the Egypt since its founding until now. Therefore, send now and gather your livestock and all that you have in the field, for the hail shall come down on every man and every animal which is found in the field, and it is not brought home. And they shall what? Die. He who feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his livestock flee to the houses. But he who did not regard the word of the Lord left his servants and his livestock in the field. And the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven. Toward where? Heaven. That there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, on man, on beast, and every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched out his rod toward heaven, and the Lord thundered in hail, and fire darted to the ground, and the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. Can you imagine hail stones that were coming down on fire? They were on fire. So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail. So every heavy, so very heavy that there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail struck throughout the whole land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast, and the hail struck every herb of the field and broke every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was what? No hail. Hallelujah. Listen, he wants to raise you up to show his power. Does everybody got it? Just like he raised up Moses. He wants to raise you up. Why do we go through temptations? So the Lord can show his what? Power. How else are you going to know? Has everybody got it? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Psalm 68. Psalm 68. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 68. Praise you, Lord. Is everybody all right? Turn that butt ministry into a power ministry. Psalm 68:32. Read this with me? Sing to God, you kingdoms of the earth. Oh, sing praises to the Lord, to him who rides on the heaven of the heavens, which were of old. Indeed, he sends out his voice, a mighty voice. Ascribe strength to God. His excellence is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. Oh, God, you are more awesome than your holy places. The God of Israel is he who gives strength and power to his people. Blessed be God. So God deserves to give you strength, amen, and power. In fact, the Bible says he desires to give you the kingdom, doesn't he? Amen. So he desires to give it to you. Go to Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 6. Glory to God. In verse 13. 6:13. Well, somewhere around there. And what does it say? This is part of the Lord's Prayer. And do not lead us what? Into temptation. Hello? But deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. The kingdom, the power, and the glory. Amen? There's three areas. Of course, we know God's kingdom. Amen. We know that he has a eternal kingdom. It's a representation of government. Right? But the kingdom, power, and glory. Now, we just talked about the power of God, isn't it? It's his manifested presence. The glory of God is something a little bit different. You may say, well, wait a minute, what are you talking about? Because in the glory of God, his person and power manifest at the same time. In fact, the glory of God, try to grab this, is his eternal presence. See, there's a difference between his eternal presence than just his presence here. There's a presence that keeps the universe together. The Bible says we live and breathe and have our being in him. Amen. There's a presence that sustains life here. There's a presence where God's, the Lord's presence is manifested. Then there's a presence that is an eternal presence that expresses his character and his power. That's called glory. See, when the glory of God hits someone, God expresses his person. See, when he expresses his person, I mean, you read in the book of Revelation, every time Jesus showed up, what happened to them? They were ripped and killed by his love. His person and his power. When I had my encounter with the Lord and his glory engulfed me, I felt his person. The first thing I said is, Dad. I met my daddy. This is Dad. And I was blinded and I was getting delivered and healed and demons were flying out of me and I was all kinds of stuff. But I met my dad because I realized his person and his power were manifested. Does everybody understand that? That's called glory. Remember in the Old Testament when Moses and they were in the tabernacle and the Bible says and the glory of God filled the house and they all got slain in the spirit where they couldn't even speak. Why? Because his person and his power showed up. Does everybody understand? Why? Because that's called the eternal presence. You and I cannot live in the eternal presence the way we are. That's why when his eternal presence shows up, you look like an epileptic seizure. You can't live in that eternal presence right now. You would die. Does everybody understand that? That's why we have to have a glorified body so that we can live in the eternal presence and come back and forth to earth. Hello? But in the glory of God, which is his eternal presence, man, you can't live. That's why Moses was gone for 40 days. Moses was dead for 40 days. Hello? When he walked out of there, he didn't skip a beat. He thought it was a couple minutes. He thought he went in there to see this light. When the Lord said, take off your shoes, man, that guy went to sleep. He was dead. That's why the Lord said, take your shoes off, man. We're going. No. He said, you're on holy ground. Why? Because his eternal glory was there, wasn't it? His person was there. Moses got to. That's why even the Lord says, I speak to Moses face to face. Why? Because his eternal glory was there. But there were times when the Lord would say, don't come in here. Amen? Don't come near me. You know. Remember when he wanted to see his glory, he said, I can only show you my back. Because if you saw me, you'd die, and I still need you here. See, his eternal glory is his person and his power. So when Moses went to go see the Lord, and he walked in there, and the Lord said, take off your sandals because you're on holy ground. That was it. Moses was taken into the glory. I mean, as far as Moses thought, he was in there for a few minutes. He walked out 40 days later. No water, no food, no nothing. I'm telling you, his heart didn't skip a beat. It continued when he left. When he was in that glory, he was a dead man. The only thing that spoke to him and his spirit. Does everybody understand this? When Moses went into the eternal glory, he was dead. God spoke to him. Moses left that glory, and the glory was still upon him. Did he put a bag over his head? Amen? The unknown preacher? And that glory was slowly lifting from him because the man was glowing. He was glowing from God's eternal glory. When I came out of God's eternal glory, because I was a dead man, I glowed for weeks, taken in the Spirit. Every time I closed my eyes to fall asleep, I was gone. Hallelujah. The glory of God is His eternal presence. Does everybody understand that? Praise God. Okay, John 2. John chapter 2. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 9. John chapter 2 and verse 9. Now Jesus got invited to a wedding. Oh, were they in for a surprise? They ran out of wine. And his mother went up to him and said, "Son, they're out of wine." He said, "What's that got to do with me? Woman?" Oh. She realized something happened. "That's not my son no more." She ran to the disciples and said, "Whatever he says, do, because that ain't my son." And so they obeyed. And when the master of the feast, in verse 9, had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept a good wine until now. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him." What did he manifest? His what? Glory. Now wait a minute. Two things that were there. His what? Character and his power. Does everybody understand that? And what happened? He manifested his glory. Why? Because his eternal glory was right there. Now, he didn't touch anything. He didn't go lay hands on this thing or nothing. He just said, "Do it." Amen? Remember when the centurions and many people came to him and said, "You know, my daughter's sick. My servant is sick." What did he say? "Go heal. They'll go home. They're healed." He didn't go lay hands on them or anything, did he? Mm-mm. It was glory. Does everybody understand that? Oh, hallelujah. Because his character and power was there. Representation of his eternal glory. So he was manifesting his glory and his disciples believed in him, didn't he? Amen. And after this, he went down to Capernaum. He, his mother, and his brothers, and his disciples, and they did not stay there many days. And he just kept cruising with the glory of God. Hallelujah. So the glory is a representation of not only his eternal presence, but his power and person. Has everybody got it? His power, his person, his character. Go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Now, we feel the presence of God many times, don't we? Amen. And then what begins to happen is when things begin to change in you, you're beginning to feel his power. Why? Because he's now manifesting his presence, isn't he? So all of a sudden, let me share something. His presence will convict you. His power will change you. Come on, say it with me. His presence will convict me, and His power will change me. And His glory will take me. Hallelujah. Matthew 16 and verse 27. Look at what it says. He says, for the Son of Man will come in the what? Glory of His Father with His angels. What glory is that? Eternal presence, isn't it? And then He will reward each one according to his works. His eternal presence. Go to John chapter 1 and verse 14. John chapter 1 and verse 14. Now, you know, I know there was a man named Smith Wigglesworth. That man used to pray sometimes, and the glory of God would show up, and a cloud would float through the house. And everything in its way got killed and then resurrected. People got healed. I mean, you know, that glory would just float through the house, man. They'd see a cloud float through. What was it? God's presence. His character and power. Amen. His eternal presence. That's what it was over at, over the tabernacle. His eternal presence was there. What you saw, fire by night and cloud by day, was His eternal presence. That's why the priest had to be very careful when he, once a year, when he went into the Holy of Holies, because the eternal presence of God would illuminate that. And take and acknowledge the blood. And if the priest didn't go through rituals, because God would hold himself back from touching that man, but if that man was unclean, the glory of God would kill him. And that's why they used to tie a rope around his ankle. They hear a bell ring, ding, ding, and they pull him out. Next, don't help me, man, you go. Yeah, man, he used to tie a rope around a person's ankle, the priest. Because if he skipped some kind of ritual or whatever it was, he wasn't pure enough to be in the presence of God. Because next to the presence of God was the glory of God. Does everybody understand that? So we see the presence, the power, then the glory. Is everybody with me? The presence, the power, then the glory. That's what we call the tabernacle of God. Oh, hallelujah. Where did I say to go? Oh, 1 John 14. Are you all there yet? I'm coming. John 1, 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His what? Glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. So Jesus was also a representation of the eternal presence brought into the present. Now, He didn't manifest it all the time, did He? Because He'd have killed everybody. That's why He put on flesh. But God anointed Him with the Holy Spirit and power. In other words, with the presence of God and the manifested presence of God. But He was still the eternal presence that came in. But you remember what He said? He said, man, I have power to lay down and pick up. Because see, He was connected. He was the eternal power, but He didn't manifest the eternal glory or the eternal presence all the time, did He? Oh, hallelujah. People didn't understand it. Even though He was walking on the earth, He was holding it. Oh, hallelujah. Behold the glory of God. Luke 6. Hallelujah. Fullness to power. Luke chapter 6. Now let me share a couple things with you, because I'll tell you, disobedience will drain you. Fear will drain you. It drains you. Pride will drain you. Anything associated with the flesh will drain you. And you'll be tested. Now the devil knows, because his purpose is to drain you. Why? Because he can't touch the anointing. So what's he want to do? Drain you. So he drains you. Then he attacks you. And because you're not filled when you go into the wilderness, you come out carnal. You don't come out with power. Then you go around that cycle over and over and over. Because you allow the devil to drain you. See, he sees the anointing. He's not stupid. He knows when you're filled and the anointing is there. He does everything he can to drain you. Starts putting things across your eyes so you start lusting. Starts doing all kinds of stuff. What's he begin to do? If any excess, he begins to drain you. He'll do it drip by drip by drip till you're half full and he says, I got him now. Then he tempts you. Bam! And he causes you to walk out of the presence of God or out of the anointing, even the fullness of the anointing. He brings you in the wilderness, beats you up, tempts you up, does all kinds of stuff. You leave that wilderness carnal. Woe is me. All fleshed out. Oh, Lord, why have you forsaken me? Oh, man, the devil's been beating me up all day. Well, you better go get filled up then. Because then he won't beat you up. The only reason why you're getting beat up, because he's tempting you all the time, also sometimes, isn't he? But see, the temptation can't overcome the anointing. The anointing overcomes the temptation. Sometimes he's trying to tempt you, and you don't even know it, because the anointing is breaking it before it gets there. Does everybody understand that? It's breaking before it gets there. That's why the Bible says that the Spirit tells you things to come. There are temptations you don't even know are there. You're just walking. That's why I thank the Lord. Lord, thank you. Thank you for bringing me through. I don't even know what I just went through, but thank you. I know that the devil's been tempting me all day somewhere along the line. I know he's been. I thank you, Lord, for snaring my enemies in their own nets while I escape safely, because I'm the apple of your eye. I'm wonderfully and fearfully made. Does everybody understand? See, this is where it's not walking in pride. It's walking in authority. There's a difference. But see, people can't discern that. They call it pride when you walk in authority. Because the carnal mind doesn't discern the things of the Spirit. Oh, that arrogant little thing. Hallelujah. In Luke 6, verse 17. Are you there? And he came down with them and stood on a level place with the crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him, and he healed all their diseases, as well as those who were tormented with what? Unclean spirits. And they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to what? Touch him, for power went out from him and healed them. Glory to God. Power came out from him. Amen? And healed him. Why? Because he was filled, wasn't he? So the manifested presence of the Lord healed them. That's the anointing. The manifested presence of God heals. Ephesians 5. Glory. Ephesians 5. Now, I'm not talking about physically drained. I'm talking about spiritually drained. Because there are times when you're just physically drained. Man, I'm just wiped. But spiritually, you're not. That's where Paul said, when I'm weak, then I am strong. So, you know, sometimes people, when they're sick, they're the strongest there in the spirit. I'm telling you, I've been sick as a dog. But I was strong. I could feel my spirit being strong, man. My spirit was just praising and worshiping God. My flesh was going, oh. You know? And as you begin to praise and worship the Lord, and, hallelujah, Lord, thank you. You couldn't talk. Oh, Lord, I thank you. And the presence of God would come, and the flesh would go, oh, not again. And you would just be joyful. Carry around this flesh that's not feeling good, but you're joyful. Hallelujah, it's another beautiful day in God's neighborhood. Lash you. Oh, shut up. Yeah, you'd be carrying this thing around. Yeah, my flesh needs a little medication. Die. You know, but you're just joyful and having a good time, man, you know. Why? Because you're filled with the Spirit. And the Bible says where the presence of the Lord is, there's freedom. Free. You know? The joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen? And in His presence is fullness of joy. Ain't nothing worse than a miserable believer. You know why? They're not filled. Well, I got up on the wrong side of the bed. That's got nothing to do with it. You just got up and shook hands with the devil. And he drained you as soon as you shook hands. You might have went to bed filled, but you woke up empty. That's why the Bible says, seek ye the kingdom every day. For Paul, our brother David, in the psalm said, Lord, early in the morning will I seek you. Early in the morning will I praise you. Why? What's he doing? He's getting filled up. Oh, hallelujah. Ephesians 5:18. And do not be what? Drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and submitting to one another in fear of God or reverence to God. Now this is powerful because he says, listen, if you stay filled with the Spirit of God, good things are going to come out of your mouth. Not negative, bad things. Not, oh man, well I'm just, you know, I don't know. I was talking to somebody today on the phone. I'm thinking, man, oh, they called me from Hawaii. And I was talking to somebody from Hawaii. I really didn't have time to talk because I was on my way here. And I said, well, you know, we're getting ready to move and come back to the States, this, that, and whatever. And I said, well, praise God. Well, we're going to need a couple of things. Well, God will provide. Well, I hope he will. I looked at my wife. I ain't got time for this. What do you mean you hope he will? Like I'm saying, well, you know, the Lord is faithful. He will provide. Well, I hope he will. Gucci, Gucci, goo. And I hope he will. Well, you know, that person ain't filled. And, you know, temptation is knocking at the door. Amen? And that's what the Bible says. Temptation is knocking on your door. Well, I hope so. Well, hallelujah. Listen, I'm on my way out to Bible study. See ya. I don't need this before Bible study. Nobody was around to answer the phone, so I had to pick it up. But praise God, I was filled. So it didn't matter. I'm like, and see, let me tell you something else. When you're filled with the Spirit of God, wisdom is always there. See, because you know what to do. When you're not filled with the wisdom of God, you get all fleshly. Wah, 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 wah. You don't know what to do. Oh! And then sometimes wisdom will tell you, you don't know what to do yet. Hello? But you will. You know, wisdom's going to tell you, you don't know what to do yet. Okay, cool. I don't know what to do yet. I'm just going to wait on the Lord. Right, but while you're waiting, do the other thing. And it will come. Oh, glory. So we see here that being filled with the Spirit, it means, it says you're going to speak things, you're going to sing, you're going to give an attitude of gratitude, you're going to be thankful, and you're going to submit to one another. Amen. You're going to submit to one another. Praise God. You're going to submit to God and resist the devil. You're going to walk out of Mr. and Mrs. Controller. Hello? You know, people want control. People who want control are not filled because they walk in fear of losing control. Amen? That's why we sing that song, it's time to get undignified. Undignified. Listen, that's where God says get into praise and worship. People won't come to praise and worship because they don't want to get filled. Why? Because they're filled already with what? Demons. You're either filled with the Holy Ghost or you're filled with a demon. Make no room for the devil. Hello? Acts chapter 6. Hallelujah. Well, I don't have a devil. I just don't feel like it. You little flesh creature, you. Acts chapter 6. One of the things that will drain you is uncommitted vows. The devil has free access to you. He'll even tell you, I have a right to be here. Uncompleted vows. Every time you say something, you don't do it, you open the way to the devil. It's a corruptible seed that gets imparted, and he loves to water it. And it promotes pride. Acts chapter 6 and verse 3. Would you read it with me? Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and what? Well, isn't that something? See, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you got wisdom. And whom we may appoint over this business. Oh, hallelujah. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to ministry of the word. And the same pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and what? Holy Spirit. See, so you see now that when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're also filled with faith, aren't you? Amen. Go to verse 7. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith in what? Power, did what? Great wonders and signs among the people. Whoa. Then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freemen. They must have been masonries. And they were disputing with Stephen. But something happened in verse 10. It says that they were not able to resist the what? Wisdom. Oh, they were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spoke. Why? Because when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, wisdom is manifested. Does everybody understand that? Oh, to God be the glory. I want to show you something. Go to verse 8. Okay, we already did that. Never mind. Hallelujah. Go to Isaiah 11. Hallelujah. Isaiah 11. So when you're filled with the Spirit, you have faith, power, and wisdom. Isaiah chapter 11. Praise be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all that is within us blesses his holy name. Glory to God. Okie dokie. Everybody there? Verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon me. Hello? That means the Holy Spirit. So he's saying, listen, if he's going to rest upon you, you're going to be filled with the Spirit. And what comes with it? Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute here. Now, what's the manifested presence of God? Power. Power. That means anointing. Amen. The anointing is the manifested presence of the Lord. It's the anointing. Amen. So he says, the Spirit of the Lord is going to be upon me. In other words, the anointing is going to be upon me. That means he's filled. So we have the Spirit, the manifested presence of God, the Lord that's upon him, upon you. The presence of God, the power, right? And it says, in the Spirit of wisdom. Now I want you to change something here for a minute. I want you to put where it says Spirit, I want you to put power. Just speak it. The power of the Lord shall rest upon me. The power of wisdom and power of understanding. The power of counsel. The power of might. The power of knowledge. And the power of the reverence of God. That's power. What's going to happen? That's the sevenfold of the Holy Spirit. That's the character of Christ. And he expresses that through you when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you maintain to be filled with the Spirit. Why? Because you know what to do. You and where it says, and the power of understanding, that means you're going to be able to interpret. Interpret. Because see, without understanding is really interpreting things, isn't it? Amen? So he says that you're going to what? Interpret. Now I want to step another place right now. So the power of his presence is called divine presence. I'm not talking about eternal presence. I'm talking about divine presence. So now it says that the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon me. Now, God's divine presence, because it's his power. Amen? His divine wisdom, which is his power. His divine understanding, which is his power. Does everybody understand this? This is his divine. In other words, where it says divine understanding, it means that you are to interpret the things of God. The wisdom, knowledge, and understanding are things that are divine, where you have the power to interpret the things of God and express them into the carnal arena. Why? That will change that which is carnal to divine. Does everybody understand this? Are you sure? That's why it's so important about being filled with the Spirit. Why? Because fullness, then power. If you're not filled, the manifested presence of the Lord will not be manifested. That's where the anointing is. See, people want the anointing of God, which is the manifested presence of God. Amen? But they're not willing to get filled, so they're not willing to pay the price. Reading your Bible does not fill you with the Spirit. There's only one thing that fills you with the Spirit, and that's a minister to the Lord. That is it. That's what fills you with the Spirit of God. If you can't minister to the Lord, you can't get filled. But I read my Bible, that ain't good enough. Then become religious. Only ministering to the Lord allows you to get filled with the Spirit of God. I'm not talking about the first time you were baptized in the Holy Spirit. You got filled, baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now it's your responsibility to stay filled with the Spirit of God. And that's what the Bible says, come out from among them. Don't touch unclean things. Don't associate. Don't be unevenly yoked. All of these things. Why? Because those things drain the Spirit from you. Worry, fear, anxiety, and stress will drain you. Man, you'd be a wet noodle that was just dried up. No power. Only if you're filled with the presence of God can the manifestation of the Lord happen. What we call power and anointing. Is everybody with me? Good. Acts 1:8. Now this is going to bring a little bit more interpretation. Because you have power of understanding, divine understanding, as you are filled with the Spirit of God. Oh, hallelujah. Acts chapter 1:8, would you read it with me? And it says, but you shall receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Wow. And you will be what? Witnesses. Why? Because you'll have divine wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, might. You'll have divine reverence to God Almighty. Why? Because you are filled. And the habitation of His presence desires to be in the habitation of His presence. Does everybody all understand that? Oh. Go to, There was a guy, Simon, who saw the power of God manifested when the apostles laid hands on individuals because they had not known about the power of God yet or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So a bunch of disciples went over there and they laid hands and prayed for the people and they got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And this guy Simon said, man, I want to buy that. How much is that? And it was offensive to the disciples. And they rebuked him. I said, you can't buy something like that. And you need to change your heart. You need to change your heart. Let me tell you something. A hardened heart will drain you. That's where you've got to forgive. You've been offended? Die. The only reason why you're offended is because your flesh is activated. People who are filled with the Spirit of God do not get offended. Hello? Nothing bothers them. Hallelujah! They don't get offended. And I'm not saying that they don't get offended. They don't react to offense. Does everybody understand that? They know that God is behind everything. And they're also able to discern whether God is behind it or the devil. Amen? Because they can interpret it. But then they also discern that God allows everything. So you're also able to discern when to walk in the divine strength, tap into the manifested presence of God where dominion is taken, or to rest in His presence and know He's got it in control. See, in this relationship with the Lord, you know when He wants you to intervene. Hello? Or He's to intervene. That's what's so important about being filled with the Spirit. And staying filled. Once you lose your joy, you know you're draining. Amen? Once you begin to speak things, which, you know, you start saying something negative. Oh, man, what about, oh, man, when is there, oh, man. You know, you're draining. Hello? Your mouth will drain you quicker than the devil. First Corinthians 1. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Verse 25. 22. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are what? Called. Both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. See, they go together, don't they? Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Glory. 2 Peter 1. Is everybody there? 2 Pete chapter 1. Praise God. Glory to God. 2 Peter chapter 1. Is everybody there? Now? Oh, let me get there now. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. Would you read it? Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As His what? Divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by the glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers. In other words, tap in. Of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Oh, that lust affairing will drain you quickly. Divine power relating to life and godliness on this side. We need to have it. That's only by being filled with the presence of God. 2 Timothy in chapter 1 verse 7 says, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but what? Power. Why? Because fear will negate power. Love. And a sound mind. It's wisdom. Amen? So fear will drain you instantly. Well, man, you know, too many people are chasing everything but Jesus. It's because of fear. Because they're not filled with the Spirit. No wisdom. No sound mind. No interpretation of the things of God and of the Spirit. No power to say no. And no love to forgive. Oh, hallelujah. None but ministry. But. Yeah, but you don't know what's going on. Revelation chapter 2. And then one more scripture, and you can all go home and have popcorn. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 2. Can you have anointed popcorn, okay? Divine popcorn. Hey, there's another one. Patent it. Divine popcorn, praise God. Here, take this and get delivered, you know. Pop. Hey, I know a woman that prayed over a glass of water. She gave this person, she went in the kitchen and she prayed over it. And she gave it to this person, not the person drank it, started flipping and flapping and got healed. So everybody, she comes into her house, she goes, can I offer you a drink? And then she goes, lays her hands on the glass, you know, all right, stands back, all right. It's a divine drink. Praise God. Drink this and you'll do cartwheels. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 25. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed in pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So using the power to overcome grants more power. Does everybody understand that? I want to close at Luke 24. Luke 24. If you don't use what you have, you lose it. Got to stay filled. Hallelujah. Luke 24. Using the power to overcome grants more power. Glory. Is everybody there in 44? 24, 44. Mike? Praise God. We're going to have a divine football game Sunday. Oh, yes, all things are possible. I'm going to need some divine intervention, though. Praise God. Well, hallelujah. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Oh, I'm in Matthew. Sheesh. That must have been a divine interpretation somewhere along the line. Remember that, okay? He's coming when a time you don't expect. Got you, Dad. Don't be caught eating popcorn, son. Okay. 24:44. Is everybody all right? Aren't you glad you're not religious? Sure gotten hot in here, didn't it? Whew. Wow. Verse 44, you guys there yet? Would you mind reading it with me? Come on, let's have some divine unity. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures, which means interpretation, right? So they were interpreting the scriptures according to the divine will of God. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in the name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Glory to God. Let me tell you, waiting for the anointing and staying filled is important. In other words, you make sure you stay filled while you're waiting. You stay filled no matter what. You stay filled. Why? Because you must be able to overcome. Why? So that the presence of God can be manifested in power. Amen? So, you know, he said, listen, as you're waiting upon me, minister to me, I will fill you. I will fill you till my manifested presence happens in your life. Now listen, that's why we go through temptation. That's why things happen in your life so that God can show his power. Amen? His power. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed, Lord. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you continue to fill us to the manifested presence of the power of Christ be expressed through each and every one of us. In every temptation, in every decision with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. In every walk, and in every talk that we do. That your character would be expressed in divine love and divine healing in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.